Well, a very good evening to you all. This fantastically sunny evening here on Bank Holiday Monday. Delighted that you can join us here on Terrace Talk with Donal Barry until 8 o'clock this evening. A show that will have a bit about Kerry FC. We'll have Jack O'Connor. We'll have the Kerry Masters football. We'll have Douar J Club as well. And just after 7 o'clock this evening, the draw for the Under 20 Football Championships at the Acorn Life Under 21 Football Championship. 16 teams going to the hat there, with East Kerry looking for 4 in a row. Now, they narrowly got the better of North Kerry in last year's encounter. Now, quickly, Kerry, of course, face Clare in the TUS section. Gaelic grounds in Limerick on Sunday at 4 p.m. A game, incidentally, that sees the Kerry senior Camogie team play there in Munster Intermediate semi-final as well. That's on the undercard at 1:30. Well, it's a place that Jack O'Connor knows well, and certainly Munster finals he knows all about them as well. Earlier in the week I caught up with Jack and got his views on the big game.
Jack, we're less than a week out from another Munster final. Is there as much excitement about this Munster final as there has been in previous years, I wonder?
Well, I suppose most people would have expected Cork to have made the Munster final originally, Donal, but the fact of the matter is they didn't. They were beaten by Clare, so this is a novel enough final in the sense that we haven't played Clare in a final now for a good many years. And the fact that it's in Limerick, it takes me back to my first year with Kerry in 2004 when the Munster final was in the Gaelic grounds, and we had a battle royale with Limerick under the late Liam Kevin's Rod of Mercy and him. So yeah, it'll be nice to go back there now and get a, you know, looking forward to a good test from Clare.
And of course, getting to the final, of course, that Tipperary game, I suppose in many ways it was kind of a run out. A lot of people kind of maybe phrase it as a practice match in a sense. Tipperary probably set up the best that they could. I mean, they are a team kind of hitting for the Tailteann Cup and the whole lot, but still though, how important was it to get a run out in the Munster Championship, a competitive performance, 25 points, a lot of players really kind of showing good form as well. There was kind of positives on that side of it.
Look, Don, it's always good to get your feet under the table and get the first game of the championship behind you, because you know the championship is different to the league. The ante is upped a bit and there's more at stake. But obviously, it was probably a bit less competitive than we hoped for. So we know we get the. And it's different and a better test from Clare.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clare have always been an exceptionally tough team. What's in their culture? What ingrains them? In many ways, Colm Collins, he has the same kind of players for years in, and he can still get the maximum out of them. Surely that's a great sign of a manager.
Yeah, he's an amazing manager. He keeps getting the absolute ultimate out of that bunch of players. And, you know, they have more or less the same bunch of players now for a few years, and there seemed to be a very unified bunch. I played a bit of football actually when I was in New York. I played a bit of football with Clare in New York, and they loved our football and their music obviously, and they were great men to celebrate when they after the wins. But they are very proud of their culture in Clare, and they'll be well up for this game. They're very spirited and very unified, and we're expecting a big test.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I was typified with 92. What are your memories of that, Jack?
Sure, not great, like every other Kerry man, I suppose. Not great, no, because it wasn't a pretty one, but look, we're hoping there'll be no repeat this year. Mm-hmm.
Jack, are you keeping an eye on the rest of the championship? I mean, it is in full flow now. I suppose the difference is it seems to start earlier, but it is getting into championship motion, a lot of games played. One team that kind of, back to your New York days, a big win against Leitrim coming over to Sligo. Rob Horton and Gavin O'Brien, two Kerry players that you'd know, were you impressed with their performances?
Yeah, they seem to play very well, both of them, and it was fantastic for football in New York to get the win over Leitrim. It just does wonders for morale over there, and you know it will help to promote the game in New York. I spent a few very enjoyable years over there. I played for 3 years there in the mid-80s, 86 to 89, and won a championship with Clare, actually one of those years. So yeah, great memories. It's changed a little bit since then. It's an Astro pitch now. That time it was the old grass pitch, and there was a baseball diamond in one of the corners, so if you went in there there'd be plenty of dust flying. But it was a fantastic atmosphere there. There was a big clock up behind the back of the goal, so you'd know exactly when time was up, and when the bell rang, the game was over at the next play. So unique atmosphere there. I remember I worked in the bar there for a while. I worked at a big Tom concert, believe it or not. back in the 80s when there was 5,000 or 6,000 people there. So great memories of it, and love to go back there sometime.
Absolutely fantastic. Finally, Jack, something that you were at as well, the under-20s, you had your campaigns and seasons there as well. How encouraging was it to see the Kerry under-20s win a Munster?
Great. Delighted for Tomás and the lads. Do you know, they got a bit of stick over the performance here against Clare, but Clare were a sticky outfit, like, they had some outstanding players, and obviously when you concede maybe a couple of bad goals, it puts you on the back foot. But I think the whole thing opens up for them now after beating Cork. You know, I'd have great hopes that they'd beat Sligo and get to a final, and when the Kerry team gets to a final, they're right there. And Derry have been beaten in the north as well, and Derry were the fancy team because they'd won the minor equivalent 3 years ago, so they were beaten the last night, albeit without their four senior players. So I think the whole thing is opening up nicely for Kerry, and with the help of God, they can go the distance, and you never know, I might get a couple of players out of it.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll get them onto the championship out of next weekend as well, Jack. The very best look to you and the team in the year ahead as well, Jack.
Good man, thanks.
There you go, kind of an upbeat enough Jack O'Connor heading into the Munster final, sure, why wouldn't he be? Very interesting. Do you hear the comments that he'd love to go back to New York? I wonder if he got the job in New York in a year's two time, which he had a way out there. But very interesting, he won a New York championship playing with Clare, and I imagine he probably knows an awful lot of people up and around that part of the world as well, and certainly looking forward to that Munster championship final, as we are to the game beforehand. Quite interestingly, a double header. Amazing how things work out. If things had worked out and Cork had won it, that double header would possibly have been with the ladies footballers. But it turned out to be Clare, and one door opens, and there's always something good behind it. And we have Camogie up there, and it's absolutely right to see them up there as well. The Kerry senior football ladies, of course, they won at the weekend. Tough game over Waterford, as I suppose everybody knew it was going to be a tough game. Once a championship straight after that Division One. Title there in Croke Park, and they're heading to Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Sunday 2 p.m. They'll be in Páirc Uí Chaoimh taking on Cork in round two. Four teams, of course, in that Munster championship. Kerry, Tip who ran Cork quite close actually last weekend out, and of course Waterford, the top two to qualify for the final. There's a lot of football ahead for the Kerry senior ladies, and we wish them the very best of luck. A lot of football as well ahead for the Kerry under 20s. And you hear Jack there saying that, you know, Tomás got a good bit of stick facing into the Sligo game, of course, next weekend as well. And of course, it's going to be a big year for all under 21 players, of course, because the under 21 Acorn Life Championship will kick off in the middle of May, and it runs away through there quick enough. And just after 7 o'clock this evening, which is around the corner, we'll be joined by Pius Horgan, we'll be joined by Stephen O'Cumber, and I think Terence Hoolan is out there as well with Kerry J, and we'll make that draw as well. 16 teams entering that draw. It'll be very interesting as well, because I suppose East Kerry, the 1-3 in a row, of course, at the end of last year. Remember that final there against North Kerry? Fantastic final. Went to extra time. I think Rory Murphy got the equaliser, and then he went on to score 2 or 3 points in extra time to kind of push East Kerry over the line. Remember North Kerry getting a penalty to bring it back down to a point as well. It was a game we covered here live on Radio Kerry. And of course, we'll have all those draws made. East Kerry, quite interesting, because some of the teams are kind of pulling away. I know Glenfesk are going out on their own. That's absolutely fantastic as well for them. Of course, they do have the captain as well, which is brilliant. So just after 7 o'clock. And then later on this evening, we'll be talking Masters football, and we'll also be talking about all those good folk up there in Douai J, as they come in at the back end of the show. The show that started with Kerry FC going down to Cove 4-1, but Ryan Kelleher getting another goal, and he's doing fairly nicely now. I think that's goal number 3, which is totting along quite nicely, as we head right now for the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, something I'm much better at, talking about football rather than the weather. Now, we are delighted to have with us all the gang from Acorn Life, and there's a considerable gang from Acorn Life after joining us. Pius Horgan is in here, sitting on the King's Throne. He's after bringing Stephen O'Cumber with him as well. We'll talk to him in a second. And of course, they couldn't go anywhere without bringing the big Kerry J guns inside here. Of course, no Tom Kane tonight, I suppose. He doesn't work on bank holiday, so we have Joe Costello and we have Terence Hoolan, and delighted to have all the boys with us. And of course, the occasion is, it's the 13th season of the Acorn Life sponsored, put into sponsored, is very important. Pius, 13 years flies, isn't it?
Tempus fugit, as they said long ago, the Romans.
Yeah.
So it does fly, and it, last year has flown as well. So we're delighted to be involved. As I said, it's our 13th year being involved in the championship, thanks to the great Maureen O'Shea. She recruited us day one and asked us would we get involved in some sponsorship. So we did. We're delighted to be involved. It has given us a big profile in Kerry, amongst Kerry GAA people and amongst the community in general. So, and we're delighted then to welcome Stefan Ockenbur onto our team as well. I'm getting a bit old, so it's time to delegate. So Stefan will be doing the draw tonight with Joe, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're putting Stefan in midfield straight away?
Straight away, yeah. Straight away, yeah.
No choice in the matter.
And we wish him a speedy recovery to his injury as well. Pity that he isn't, on the, but that, that's the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But really, he'll be fine, sure, Acorn Life. Tell us a little about Acorn Life. You have a minute or two. Don't go over selling it now and don't be anything. But for the people out there that have never heard of you, tell people in South Kerry what Massey Coffee does.
Oh, Massey would be one of our longest financial advisors, and along with Patrick Kelly and Tarbert and Eddie and Wright. And I'm there 33 years since last October. So we are a financial services company, and we provide a free financial review for anybody that wants it. We offer best advice, and the unique thing about Acorn Life is we have two fund managers. We had HSBC since day one, and then last November, 2 years, Mercer asked Acorn to sit down and have a chat with them. So they are now managing some of our funds as well. So whatever funds people are looking for, we have them. We have 13 different funds, be it managed back down to deposit. But we base our I suppose our success in Kerry on the basis that we offer best advice. We have a very, very mature team. Stefan is coming on board now because some of us are getting a bit too old for, I suppose, working 5 nights a week after 9 o'clock. And we're recruiting at the moment, so if there's anyone out there that's interested in having a chat with me about becoming a financial advisor, well then they know where to find me.
Wait, that was more than 2 minutes. Stefan, no. Have you all that learned now about financial funds and all that kind of crack? I presume there's a little cheat sheet given to you, was there?
There's a few sheets given to me, right, yeah. I'll have to take my time and I'll go through them, but yeah, there's a pretty good team there to learn from, so I'm looking forward to it.
All footballing men?
Massey Coffey would be the footballing man. Patrick Kelly and Tarbert then would be the next man that was involved with, I suppose, was it Field Rangers long ago, and what was the other crowd that were there long ago?
Shannon
Rangers. And
they're still there. Poor
they're
John
still there.
John
yeah.
Kennedy's crowd, they're still there. Yeah. Hanging in there, but still there.
Yeah.
And of course, it's interesting that you talk about Shannon Rangers and Field Rangers, because they throw their hat in together, Terence, in this competition. Got to the final last year. Great final last year, wasn't it?
Absolutely, I think it's a fantastic competition. I suppose it's the step between minors and seniors, and I think I suppose it's a level up as well. So some fantastic games, I suppose, from the side of it where teams come, get together and can do a bit of work, I think really shows. And as they go through the competition, and as we said, the final last year was a fantastic final. I think teams are at a very strong level at that stage.
Mm-hmm. And Rory Murphy, of course, bounced on that final and onto the senior team this year and certainly got noticed. So a lot of the players at that level are going to step up to the next level, which of course is the senior level, and it's fantastic. And even Jack said earlier that, you know, he'd be looking at the under-20s and hoping that win or lose the under-20s, there'd be a few coming through. And of course that's all going out to the coaching and games as well. It's about producing players and sending them through and the whole lot, and we'll talk about that later on as well. But the most important thing we better talk about and get the business out of the way, and that is the draw. Terence, the draw is simple enough, I was told, because Adam here is my he's too young for a financial advisor post, to say.
Down the road he'll make it, if you're the gab of the father.
There we go. Got you a job, Adam. Got you two jobs tonight. Fair play. And Adam, of course, was racing all day over in Unreacht, of course. The juvenile athletics county finals were on today, and it was a fantastic day. Got sunburned over there myself. But anyway, 16 teams. It's a simple enough draw. Do you want to go through and explain it and do the Peter Twist on it? He's very serious now when Peter Twist explains it. No, he does a precise way of explaining it.
Yeah, just before I start, I suppose from the county board perspective, I just want to thank Pius and Acorn Life for their continued support. It's fantastic to have partnerships like that involved with Kerry, and we really appreciate it. Back onto the draw, 16 teams, which is fantastic. I think it's the highest number we've had at under 21 level with a while. We've 8 club teams, 8 group district teams, and it's a straight draw. 16 teams are going to the hat. First team out will have home advantage and a straight knockout, and we'll move on to the quarter final after the first round. So that's where we lie.
Fair enough. So we're going to bring Joe Costello in now, because suppose he's the most trustworthy man in the Kerry County Board, left us here.
At the moment, I'd say.
And he was out the road in St. Pat's, so he didn't too far to come in the road maybe as well. So we're going to hand that over, and Stephen is going to take responsibility for the Pies Horgan side of things. So will Stephen draw the first team out, and Joel will find a partner for them. So the first team out of this year's Acorn Life under 21, and it's Stephen.
St. Cairns.
Got to the semi-final last year, actually, St. Cairns.
We'll play Mid Kerry.
We'll play Mid Kerry. Good God, neighbours enough, I suppose.
And Glenflesk.
New team in Glenflesk, I suppose. Breaking away on their own from East Kerry.
They'll play Lone Rangers.
Lone Rangers, my God, Terence, an all-club battle.
North Kerry.
And it's North Kerry. The team that are probably the favourites, I would reckon.
We'll play Killarney Legion.
Killarney Legion. William Shine's team.
East Kerry.
Going for four in a row. A little bit lighter this year. Some of the clubs going on their own from them.
We'll play Kinmare District.
Kinmare District, of course, got to the semi-final last year. Did very well.
St. Brendan's.
Just out the road.
Dr. Crokes.
St. Brendan's will play Dr. Crokes. Okay.
Kinmare Shamrocks
as opposed to Kinmare District.
We'll play Fireys,
another club team just on their own.
And Rathmore,
another East Kerry team on their own. My God, there'll be nothing left in East Kerry, will there?
We'll play West Kerry.
And Austin Stacks,
the gang just across the road from us.
We'll play South Kerry,
my own crowd. Well, fair play to you, lads. God, Stephen, you'll be kept anyway. That's a record. I said, you know, usually these things take about 4.5 minutes, but Stephen had him out in about 34 seconds. So fair play to you, Stephen. That's quick moving. So just to recap on that, I might hand over to Terence because I have him here, Terence, just in case. But call him out anyway, just to be safe.
Yeah, I hope I have it right now and you can double check on me. So the draw is St. Kieran's versus Mid Kerry, Glenflesk versus Lone Rangers, North Kerry versus Legion, East Kerry versus Kinmare District, St. Brendan's versus Dr. Crokes, Kinmare Shamrocks versus Fireys, Rathmore versus West Kerry, Austin Stacks versus South Kerry. These games will be played on the 17th of May, and as I said, the first named team is at home. And the following round will be on the 24th of May, and just for clarification, takes a break for a few weeks then because we've Leaving Cert kicking in, and we'll be back then once Leaving Cert is finished, I think at the end of June.
Okay, that's fair enough. So basically round one is going to be on May the 17th. You're going to get rid of eight teams down to the quarterfinals. That's going to be played on the 24th, and that'll give you four teams, and then we do our Leaving Cert and other bits and business, and we'll get back and we'll settle the final four then at a time probably better or a good time or whatever time it is. So just go through it again. St. Cairns are at home to Mid Kerry, Glenflesk versus Lone Rangers, an all club game. North Kerry, the guys that are probably really pushing to see can they win this, versus Clarny Legion. East Kerry, last year's champions. It'll be interesting to see how they go this year. They're playing Kinmare District. St. Brendan's just out the road playing Dr. Crokes. We have Kinmare Shamrocks, the club team, of course, breaking away from Kinmare District. They'll play Fireys. And we have Rathmore playing West Kerry. And we have Austin Stacks hosting South Kerry. They'll be taking the minibus and Massey Coffee will be heading up that day evening, surely, to support South Kerry. Looking at the games, Terence, it's 16 games. They're all under 20. It's a very, very strong standard of football at this level as well, particularly, I suppose, when you see so many clubs now wanting to go on their own. It's good for club football when a club team can put out players up to this level and have a go at it.
Yeah, I think it's important for clubs to have an ambition, especially clubs who are ambitious to play a senior county championship and who are at that stage. If they have an under 21 team in the county championship, I think it stands them going forward. And I think, as we can see here, we have eight clubs and we've a few clubs there who have come in this year maybe who wouldn't have been there before. But if you look at all the clubs that are competing, they're all looking at having two teams in the county league, which shows the numbers they have. And I think it's good for Kerry going forward.
Mm-hmm. Joe, when you see the amount of clubs, I suppose particularly clubs that want to enter competitions at under 20, I suppose, and think that they have a chance of it, is that because of the great work that's going on at club level, that they're producing so many players at this, and particularly maintaining players, maybe not even losing players, I suppose?
Yeah, 100%, Donal. I suppose one mitigating factor too would be the decoupling. So since the minor club competition moved to under 17, you know, it's brought it down a year younger. So clubs have had to work hard to ensure that there's a sufficient games programme, because there would be an element, particularly with the clubs at senior and intermediate level, where guys coming out of minor wouldn't be able for that step up. So, you know, we... last year at the CCC we introduced the Developmental League, which was very good. The vast majority of clubs that entered it ran it as a sort of an under 21 or an under 23 league, and it was a great success. So this is just, I suppose, is an extra string to the bow for clubs to provide a championship football for those guys that would hopefully obviously go on and break into their senior teams for the club sides at senior county and senior club championship, and obviously for the district teams at senior county championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic competition. You've already alluded to the final we had last year, and I think they might be a surprise. North Kerry are probably favourites, but they might be a surprise package coming from one of the club teams.
Go on, which one?
One
of the club teams. So there's eight club teams there. My God, that's 50-50.
I suppose it would be rude of me not to mention Terence's own club team, Lone Rangers. I actually was at their first round game last year against my own district team, St Brendan's, which was played in monsoon conditions in Blenerville. Oh, yeah. And they were very unfortunate to come out. They lost that by a point after extra time, I think. So Lone Rangers and I suppose Aston Stacks as well would probably be two teams that, from the club side, that you'd look out.
You wouldn't be left walk down the town if you didn't mention Aston Stacks. Staying away from us, Stefan, your own memories of playing under 20 at this level. I mean, obviously you had the inter-county side and that was fantastic, but can you remember playing this level with your club, and were you with St Brendan's, or what was the story in that case?
Yeah, with the Brendan's. So it was pretty handy, because there's probably that bit of a period where you players do tend to go missing, so having these competitions does definitely help for player development, so I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, fair place. Pius, you're under 20 days?
Oh, milking cows.
You have no time for it, did you?
And because that was we were right in a concentration camp. But for the
or bus, a milking parlour, maybe you should
camp,
say
it wasn't the Rotary one either. For the semi-finals, we'll be doing a man of the match, and for the final, we'll also be doing a man of the match. Okay.
My God, you'll be
the best of luck to everyone.
We'll be putting Murphy under fierce pressure now to pick a man of the match with 4 minutes to go. Listen, stay with us for a few minutes, because I'm going to talk a bit about coaching and games as well. But in the meantime, we'll take that commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back. Of course, we've just completed the Acorn Life draw. We left the Acorn Life boys out of here, and I've held on to Terrence and Joe, and I suppose, Joe, I want a couple of questions, of course, coaching and games. Joe, every department within the county board is a busy department, but coaching and games always strikes me as one of these ones that it's like a mini civil service. There's so many little things going on, different age groups. It links, I suppose, into the senior thing. It goes back to clubs. Can you give people kind of a brief outline of the brief as such? And we might touch on some key topics then, maybe.
Yeah, no problem, Donald. So I suppose my role as coaching officer is obviously to oversee the coach education and coach development programmes in Kerry, and obviously I also have a dual role as vice chairman of the CCC, so I'd also keep an eye on the games programmes. I coordinate the minor competitions myself, and I would also liaise very closely with Cushton and Oge in relation to the underage structure games. Mm-hmm. Cushton and Oge are fantastic. They're a very fantastic board, very well run. There's a serious games programme for all age grades in Kerry, which I'd be very proud of. So I suppose that's from a games perspective. From a coaching perspective, Donald Daly is our games manager. He's the man, he's our driving force, really. So I work closely with Donald. We've 7 GDAs, 5 football, 2 hurling, and Micheál Cork is obviously above in the MTU as well, and he's the GA development officer up there. So the lads' remit would be to, I suppose, develop coaching and develop coaches in their specific districts. It was recently announced that we're in the process of recruiting two more GDAs, so exciting times for Kerry GA. Realistically, I suppose we're hoping that they'll be on the ground running by the start of next year. So that'll help us obviously grow the game in Kerry. So that's very important to us. So I suppose my role really is to be, you know, I suppose develop policy, and you know, it's the full time staff then that generally drive it.
And it's interesting you use the word policy and drive it and the whole lot, because go back to my time 25 years ago, it was literally John got the job of looking after the under-12s and Michael done this, and some fella didn't leave for 40 years because it was his only job and he was very good at it. But we've got to a stage now where coach education is very important, and obviously you must do your different grades and your certs and the whole lot. That can only be a good thing though for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about improving standards, Donal. So, you know, the basics requirement now for a coach, and not just GA, but across all codes, would be, you know, Garda vetting and safeguarding would be obviously very important. But for, they would also have to do the old foundation course, which is now called the Introduction to Gaelic Games. So we would generally run those programmes at the start of the season. We might even actually look to start bringing them forward towards the end of this year, so clubs can maybe hit the ground running a bit more. But obviously there's various different awards. What we found this year from feedback from clubs is they really enjoyed workshops. So this year the coaching games team led by Donal, they would have done a number of age grade specific coaching workshops. So we did them, they were by locations in Tralee and Killarney and Milltown for the South Kerry contingent, and they were a great success in February and March. We got some great numbers for it. We had a lot of familiar faces where you'd recognise going to underage games, and a lot of new parents, in particular mums and dads, helping out. So that was very good. I suppose from the older age groups, then we did a one-day coaching conference. I know Terence was at it and he found it very beneficial, again coordinated by Donal. We had some very good presenters, just maybe a step up from what you'd be coaching at 11s and 13s, a small bit on video analysis and S&C and so on and so forth. And then we had a very successful sort of senior club coaching conference, a two-day one. We had Paddy Talley presented, and we had a guest appearance from Jack, which was really, really good, very well thought of, and Jason did a little module on strength and conditioning as well. So there's a big appetite for clubs, a big appetite amongst the clubs to develop their coaches. So and that can only be good for Kerry GA in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Terence, I suppose coaching has come a long way from maybe some of the days where you just put flags in the corner and the next fella arrived with cones and the whole lot. But still, it's ultimately learning to do something. All the cones in the world won't make you a good coach. You still kind of have to have it. And I suppose you the coaches today gather things from different sports, and you see that now. You know, some fellas are looking at basketball, and some fellas are looking at a bit of what's happening in the hurling world, or even they're taking in things from athletics and the whole lot. It's a big blend mix, really, isn't it? That's needed.
Yeah, I think all the coaches who are enthusiastic and willing will look to every avenue to develop themselves. And I think in Kerry we're blessed that we have fantastic coaches who are always trying to upskill and develop themselves. And I think through Kerry GA they get a great start, and we provide lots of courses and knowledge to them. But I do think the best coaches then want to go on and develop themselves, and they do look elsewhere in other sports. And we always have to learn, and we always can learn, and we always have to look elsewhere.
Fair play, Joe. God, you sound like a man that's going places. Is it, Joe?
Huh? Absolutely.
Good stuff. And it helps to do a bit of canvassing as well, does it?
Oh, absolutely. Radio Kerry is the best place to do that, isn't it?
Oh, Lord, we'll have everybody know. Come here, listen, guys, thanks very much. And listen, the very best luck for the year ahead. I think sometimes, you know, people in the county board, you certainly get it, an unfair rap, you know, the boys up in the ivory towers. And I suppose at times we forget that, you know, every one of them started below in the club as well, and you work way up, and you go around the circle, and basically you're there for the improvement, and I suppose you drive the car for a bit while you can do it. Adam, a very important question for you, Adam. Do you ever hear of Dua?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, fair play to you. Do you ever play against Dua?
No.
No. They'd be too good, or they wouldn't be good enough? We'll have to find out. Well, that's a Lone Rangers lad. He'll find out. But we're going to have a few guys on from Dua now in a moment. a small country club, basically. Do I, between Listowel and how do you feel? I remember playing with St. Michael's Filemore for years and had plenty of battles with them. I think they won a novice. They're out there somewhere. You win a novice round 2000, did you? Fair play to your own, then. Maybe it was even maybe 2001. They can tell me in a second, but that's how far I can go back. I can't go back before, Adam, so don't be pretending, okay? Listen, guys, thanks very much. The very best of luck with the games ahead, your plans and the coaching, the training. The most of that work is over now, Joe, isn't it? I mean, at this stage, it's full whack games. Yep. We've all been educated and coached out the door, and off we go, and we've all been vetted. So it's games now at the moment. And of course, with games brings CCC problems, which we won't talk about at all. But it's good to have a very straightforward run of those as well, and very best luck. Those games, of course, on the 17th of May is the first round of games, and just to rerun through them, St. Cairns will play Mid Kerry at home, Glenflesk will take on Lone Rangers at home, that's going to be an exciting game, North Kerry versus Clonmany Legion, East Kerry versus Kemer District, St. Brendan's will take on Dr. Crokes, Kemer Shamrocks will host Fieries, and Rathmore will host West Kerry, and South Kerry will have to travel up the road here to Austin Stacks, and all those games on the 17th. Has to be a winner on the night.
Winner on the night, yep.
We'll go right down to the last penalty if we have to.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair play. I love penalties. I can't wait to see a few penalties. And we've had a few penalties in games. And then, of course, the quarterfinals are on the 24th of May. That'll cut us down to four. And then we will figure out after a week or two or a couple of weeks break where we get. Guys, thanks very much for coming in. After the break, we will be joined by Do Aw GA Club members just for a little chat of what's happening on various clubs. It's a great club. I still have to ask them when they won the novice, because we were hanging around that time. I remember they won the junior in 2006. My homework done on that, all right. But certainly, we'll find out after the break.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, GAA Club Do Aw, they're located on the road between Listowel and Abbeyfield in the rural hinterland. I suppose it straddles the border with Limerick, really. And it's one of the few clubs that I still consider a dual club as well, actually. They have a bit of hurling up there as well. I remember watching them play hurling, and hopefully the hurling is still going, and the football as well. And of course, it's a club that looked, I suppose, like all rural clubs. They won their novice championship a good while ago, and they bounced up there. And of course, 2006 was a fantastic year for them as well. Won the Kerry Football Junior Championship. We remember from the South Kerry side, of course, that's, you know, your poor old Renard, I suppose. They won the Munster. You won the Munster, of course, and you went all the way to Croke Park and just finished up short of Greencastle, I remember, on that day as well. Players, I suppose, what, Anthony Maher, JJ Costlow, Dan McAuliffe, Des Dillon, they're the kind of names that people will be sitting at home tonight saying, do I remember him? He played for Kerry and the whole lot. But of course, that doesn't define a club, who plays for Kerry or not. It's basically, I suppose, the day-to-day running of the whole club. And I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Lean, Conor Kane and Mike McHenry. And I suppose, no in particular order of importance, but I'm going to fire the first question out to Martin, just basically to get him up and running. For the people that don't know where Do Aw is, Martin, very few people don't know, but just...
Well, we're in the district of North Kerry, and we're in play with the Field Rangers, of course, as well. And we're very close to the Limerick border in Abbeyfield. So we're nestled in close to Listowel as well on one side, and we have my van then on the other side of us there, North Negoshal, and on the other side. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're nestled in. And a very progressive club. A lot of work has been done with development down through the years. And I suppose in a club, development never stops. It keeps going on, and that's the stage we're at now. Is progressing onto another stage of development in the club.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, we'll talk about the development in a while. Conor Kane, I suppose, like all clubs, it's getting people out, getting them playing, getting the structures right. We're talking to the boys about coaching and the whole lot. Numbers wise, it's a small club, it's a big club. Have you them hanging out, or are you like most rural clubs, just keeping them going?
Yeah, I suppose Martin mentioned the word there, progressive. I think it's a very important word, and it is a very strong word for us at the moment. We're lucky, I suppose, the trend is going in our favour. You know, numbers from under sevens up, even academy before under sevens, under nines, all the way up is very strong. And that's, I suppose, where we're basing what we're trying to do over the next couple of years. We're trying to put something together that's going to be there for a considerable amount of time, and you know, it's going to enhance everything we have currently, but it's also going to be there for younger players to come forth in the next couple of years. So numbers very strong, I suppose, coming in the next 4 to 5 years that way, whereas maybe our senior team are in a type of progression. Maybe we lost a few more senior players over the last 3 or 4 years kind of all together. So we're hoping the next few years we'll be back where we were. Mm-hmm. But numbers good, yeah. Absolutely.
Of course, Mike, all clubs go through that cycle, really. I mean, you get a golden age of kids and they become good adults and they become good senior players and they become good veterans and then they're gone. But the whole GA ethos is that you must get the next gang in after them, and of course, and that's what you're planning for, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, Donald, that's what we're at. We're looking at putting a plan together for the kids and for the those coming through, to have facilities there to help them develop. That's part of our plan. Also, we're looking at developing the facilities there just from a spectator's point of view, from a comfort point of view for those attending our games. So it's all part of a plan the club has over the next number of years to develop the facilities both for players and spectators.
Yeah, Conor, talk to us about the plan. What is the plan? What have we got nice comfortable seats in there when they go up there to play, watch in Division 5 of the County League? That's always a good place to go. But the plan itself, I mean, it's very progressive, and I suppose it's like before a plan was we'll build something or we'll do something else, but this is kind of a very intricate plan that everything kind of develops together, and you're basically moving everything at the one pace, which you really need to. It's not one of these ones where we're going to build this in 30 years time, we might add a wall to it, the whole lot, but this is now building for the future with this.
Yes, absolutely, Donald. I suppose over the last couple of years, I suppose going back over 10 years, we put a lot of time and effort into our pitch, and we've seen the rewards come from that. You know, we're blessed with having such a surface of its quality, that we can play against practically all year round, and that doesn't happen by accident. You know, there's a lot of work going through it. I mean, I can speak for our chairman Mike Buckley there, who puts a lot of work into that pitch. So what we're looking at, I suppose, now is the auxiliary parts of the pitch. You know, whereas the stand is the terrace, it's the type of pavilion. Also our community walkway, which we opened up in 2019, we want to maybe develop that into maybe a better surface, like a tarmacadam surface. You know, we saw the benefits of that maybe even during COVID, where people can use it as a means of exercise and a means of getting out and about. So yeah, it's they're the four projects we're looking at, you know, the pavilion, the terrace, the stand and the community walkway for now. And we're lucky, look, it's all about bodies, and that's what we're looking for, getting people behind it, getting people behind our project and driving on. Mm-hmm. Quite simply, yeah.
Super. I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Absolutely.
What must I do now, Mike?
Well, you have a couple of options. There's the facility to join up online through the club funder, which we use for our club lotto. That's one possible source of purchasing a ticket. Also, the local shops, pubs, so on, have tickets for sale. And club members are also selling tickets. And look, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be hitting the ground in the locality, and hopefully we'll get a good response.
It'd be like the old days, getting into the cars and meeting
people
at the doors, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That kind of is the GA way, Martin Lean, isn't it? I mean, it's a call to arms, but I mean, it's not a specific call to arms for one project, for one people. We were talking about the people walking around on the outside as well. This, as much as it's a GA project, it's a very, very local, community-based project as well, which will have huge, I suppose, positives for people outside the GA as well.
Absolutely. Well, the GA, look, we can't go away from it. The GA, our community. Mm-hmm. It is our community, you know, and without the community, you don't have the GA. And they have been fantastic, not only with our club, but I can speak for a lot of clubs as well. They have been fantastic with our club down through the years. The community, the support we've got from, is just unbelievable. And, you know, this is the stepping stone we're going on to again. And, you know, we forget at times about the volunteer in the club. And I think the day that if we lose volunteers in clubs, I think we're in serious trouble. Because they're the people that are down, like Conor said, Mike Buckley's and these people, Ted Halpin, who spent days upon days down on that pitch. You know, they manicure that pitch, they keep the pitch. Like, I mean, there's days when you have to close the pitch in bad weather. 2 days can save you 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by closing for 2 days, you can save that pitch for a long time down the road.
It takes strong men to close a pitch for 2 days sometimes, though.
Well, it does, and it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, and if we don't do it, and like if we don't close it, you can be do pile of damage in bad weather and in wet weather. We're very lucky with our pitch that if it rained for a couple of days, it's gone off again in 24 to 48 hours. You've never seen it, because we've two sand-based pitches. The training pitch, I just don't know what we would do without having the training pitch as well. Such is the demand from the school. You have, there's 160 or 70 children in the school there in Dua. Lair School have about 25. There's two schools in the parish. You know, so that field from now on during the summer will be used, and you could say 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, you know. And we're indebted to our people who sell the lottery tickets and people who buy the lottery tickets. Those people keep the club going. I suppose going back to years gone by, you had the carnivals. You remember the carnivals in the clubs. They kept the clubs going at that stage. But then it moved on to a lotto, and you have the people there that are supporting the lotto week in, week out, and they're keeping the club going. So there's huge expense now on clubs. Mm-hmm. Small club, you're talking about maybe 50,000 or 60,000 a year to run between various things, insurance and all that goes with it. That is,
they're small businesses now, to be fair. Do you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you have to provide so much. You have to, the players play, no matter if it's under 13 or what age. You have to get a bus or you have to get transport. It's all income of a sense, and then you still have to improve your facilities. I mean, you could spend the whole year kind of just going from hand to mouth, do the one job, but you have to have the plan looking down the line as well. Mike, talk to us about the club. Are you involved in the club all your life?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's going to say no, he's some fella from outside as he played with my fingers crossed.
No, I've been involved.
Mike is local.
Mike is local.
They had a bit at underage level. Was involved with the senior team at Selector for a couple of years.
What was it like playing with Douaugh when you were a young fella?
It was great. I mean, look, football was kind of all we knew at the time. You know, I went to school in the local school directly alongside the GA pitch, and this was... I was in school there from 1980 to 1988, and I suppose we were very fortunate at the time. Kerry were flying, and they brought Sam Maguire to the school, I think, on 5 of those 8 years. So it was great to see the likes of...
Which Kerry player brought it?
Well, there was numerous ones. I suppose we had the North Kerry lads at the time, Ogie Moran and the Bomber, Tim Kennelly, they brought it. I remember Ger Power and a few of the Tralee fellas came out there too. So that was great, like, for us as kids, to see the likes of those fellas arriving at the school with Sam Maguire. And I suppose it kind of just fostered the love of the game and the GAA for us. And, like, I suppose where the school is, it's uniquely positioned with the GAA pitch directly behind it. So the GAA pitch acts as almost like a playground for the school. So it's great. And that's what developed football. And we had a fantastic underage set up there at the time. Very successful at under 12s, 14s, 16s, all the way up. Won numerous county leagues, North Kerry championships.
And what does it mean then to get off the line, win something, bring it home? I mean, obviously every little parish and every little club love to win, but, you know, we don't always win all the time, but when you win, it's kind of rare in that sense. What was it like coming home with something? I mean, that certainly got people out of the
house. It did, you know, we got great support. There was great fun around the place. There was, you know, just coming back to the village with a cup or something like that. There was cars flying, horns beeping, you know.
You done the proper parade through the village.
Absolutely, yeah. We made the most of it, certainly. Like, so it was great. It was great times. And, you know, it just developed, like I say, the kind of the love for football, and that has continued.
Yeah. Conor, the same question to you, I suppose, because I'm always enthused at how people see their own club in their own locality. I mean, some people love their club. Some people say, oh God, I wish I was in the club across the road, because they'd win 5 county championships every year. And then you have the fellas that'll roll up the sleeves, and regardless of whether you win, lose or draw, they'll still tug out, and they'll still fight, and they'll still play for that particular colour. What was the club meaning to you, Conor?
Look, I suppose I'm local as well. You know, I would have been played quite a bit at underage, but reached no great heights at any level other than that. But
you were still needed, though.
Look, as long as they'll have me, I'll do my best. But we're a small village, but big heart. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, that's the type of place we are. You know, we're always in for the battle. We're tough but honest, I think is something you could say about us. Whether we compete in North Kerry or compete in the county, you know, we will give it our all, you know. You know, we are a big parish, I suppose, but, like, as regards numbers, like we said, we are heading in the right direction, but we are full of spirit. There's no doubt about it. So
God, I can feel a North Kerry game coming on already. We're small, teak tough,
I think you call it.
Jesus, I'd say we're great, man, for giving a team talk in the dressing room, were you?
Well, at under 7s and under 8s now at the moment, you know, it's as far as it goes.
There's a big demand for that now at the moment, because at the rate some of the under 10s are being turned out of places, they're coming out of the fields fairly quickly. Well, listen, guys, what we'll do is we'll take a quick commercial break, and after a break, we'll drill down a little bit more on that, and we'll dig in how we can actually help out a little bit more as well. And we'll talk to Martin Lean about what it is to be a Douaugh man.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, Terrace Talk Radio, Kerry Donbar here until 8 o'clock this evening, and we have about another 13 minutes here. We're going to be talking about Douagh and North Kerry, and why not, because they're a very good small club up there on the Limerick border, doing fantastic work, and I suppose once a month we highlight a club that's doing that little bit of work, and I suppose it kind of gets back to what the show is about as well, Terrace Talk, and it's basically what is made up of clubs, I suppose, just, you know, doing their best, flying their flags and getting on with business the best that they can. Martin Lean, before we move on, I suppose, and talk about more financial stuff, it's like all clubs, you're born into a club and sadly you go out the other way as well. You lost a very good man in the club.
Yeah, just there on Saturday, former chairman and former player, Eddie Kelly. Eddie passed away. Eddie was a terrific man with the club down through the years, and we would like at this stage to send our sympathy to his family and on his passing, and may he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely fine words. And I suppose, like, every club has an Eddie Kelly, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, these people are there, you know, and they have been tremendous people, you know, down through the years with every club, and they were always there when the need was most, you know. And I suppose in Eddie's time, things have, you know, they have moved on. It was tougher in those days, trying to get fields and buy fields and put up stands and put up dressing rooms and all that. And that was all like groundwork and hard work to be done. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's gone back to the carnival times as well, when they raise money through the carnivals and through other sources as well, you know.
They were rare events, weren't they, the carnivals, you know, I mean, I suppose it was kind of a country club thing as well, wasn't it, you know, I mean, you put up as much and people travelled over and...
Well, they did, because I suppose every club ran them at that stage, you know, there was no other means of raising, if you were public, you know, and you had the halls or the tents that were put up and the dancing went on there and what have you, and it was tremendous for the clubs, you know, and I suppose you got maybe, they probably went on over a couple of weeks. Normally the weekends, that'd be Friday games, Friday nights, Saturday nights, and then Sunday evenings as well, you know, so...
And in some cases, it was the origins of ladies football.
Absolutely, yeah, that's correct, yeah.
It was amazing. Come here, your own memories of Douagh before we get on to the real serious stuff. I mean, take us back to your early memories. What was Douagh like? Who were the big players? Who were the managers, the fellas that trained you and all that kind?
Well, I suppose when I was on the young fella, there was one man that was on my boundary where he played was Billy Dorn. Billy played with Kerry back in the 60s, you know. I always remember Billy training his own. They talk about players training in their own now, like, to get fit, but Billy did actually train away on his own before he went into the county. He played with the county for a number of years, you know. So
was that running around the field? And
yeah, I would have seen him running around the field, and he would always have somebody, maybe one of us, a young fella with him, kicking the ball high, and fielding the ball over his head and all that. So, you know, that's the way to do it.
What did it mean to have a Billy Dorn playing for Douagh and for Kerry at that stage? I mean, I suppose playing for Kerry was a huge thing at the time. Obviously, it's still a huge thing, but rare enough, I'd imagine, for small clubs.
It would have been rare enough. Like you mentioned a few names there, like sort of Tom Costell and all those people, you know, and Dermot Dillon, you know, they all play with Douagh. But having a player like, you know, of the calibre of those people, it meant so much to the club in those years. And it still does today, because, you know, we had the likes there in the last time, we were with Anthony Maher, Kieran Quirk, and all these fellas, you know, when we won the North Kerry Championship and the road to Croker in 2006, you know. They were people, you know, you would listen inside in the dressing room as the road went on to the Croke Park, you know. And you need leaders. You need leaders like them, and they have been tremendous. Mm-hmm. And clubs, you know, the clubs have been successful with the likes of these people as well.
Mm-hmm. Mike, that Croke Park journey, I mean, we had it ourselves. You never lose the memories of it. You can remember every game you played. You can remember, I'd say, if it was like ourselves, every person in the parish was in Croke Park on the day. There was nobody at home. Everybody was on the bus. What were your memories of that?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we winning the county championship in the first place was a big achievement for us. We beat Renard here in the Austin State Park. Conditions were
who would you beat?
Renard.
I just want you to say that a second time. Yeah.
fairly atrocious conditions the same day, from what I remember. But
look, it was very low scoring.
It was, yeah, I think.
Again, you didn't score too much to beat Renard that day.
I think we got three goals. Three was goals, it 3-3 or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
You got enough.
We got enough. So then we went on, having won the county, which was a huge achievement, went on, and actually the first game of the Munster Championship, we held it in Douagh, which was a big achievement for the club. We played Napiercig, the club who's gone on to win numerous hurling club titles. Then we went up to Waterford and played Mount Sion, another famous
hurling club,
and had a number of the Waterford hurling, Tony Brown, Ken McGrath, and so on, were playing the same day. We were successful there, and then we had the Munster final in Killarney against Adrigal from Cork. I think it was just a few days before Christmas, and won that game by a point, so it made for a great Christmas around the place.
It was pure North Kerry weather.
Absolutely, yeah. So from there then, played a team from Laois in the semi-final,
mm-hmm.
won that, and on to Crow Park. First All Ireland final, played under lights. We took part in it. Greencastle from Tyrone unfortunately came up short in the night, lost by a point. Fairly controversial kind of a finish to it, but look, that's the way it goes. But look, great memories, great time around the place, and like you mentioned, great for people. I know several people who were abroad who came home just to be in Croke Park to experience the whole trail, I suppose you could say, of seeing their club, seeing their parish, running out in Croke Park and playing an All Ireland final. So great times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another great time, Conor. You won the North Kerry in 2012.
That's right.
That's
right.
A big one.
Yeah. It is, because I suppose, you know, North Kerry Championship is what it is. You know, it's played usually in winter months, and it's, you know, it's a tough competition to win. It really is. So I suppose we'd come off the back of the All-Ireland and all that, and there's a couple of years where we competed intermediate in Kerry, and then we kind of came back to junior again. We regrouped, I suppose, for 2012 for that, and we got through it, mm-hmm. you know, and it was the first time since the 60s that we'd won it. So it, again, you know, it fell there around Christmas time as well. I went to a replay against Bale in the Stoll, and came out the right end of it after two tough battles with them. Again, so a big competition for us to win, I suppose. It's, you know, there are various, there's South Kerry competition, West Kerry, you know,
your own district is number
absolutely,
one. It doesn't
yeah.
matter what you win
yeah.
after that. I think. Come here, what you're doing, so in other words, is you're trying to recreate all those memories again with the next generation of kids that will get the chance because the facilities will improve. Speak to me specifically about some of the facilities that we're going to be putting up in and around Douai.
Yeah, so look, we're I suppose over the next, you know, year or more, I suppose we're looking at four main projects. You know, that'll be funded hopefully by the fundraising we're going to look at in the next couple of months, as well as you know, the support of Munster Council, Kerry County Board, and maybe possible sports capital funding as well. So we're always trying to, you know, progress and develop the facility there in Douai for the next generation. So I suppose the four main subjects at the moment are, we're going to, you know, upgrade the dressing rooms,
mm-hmm.
and bring it into a type of pavilion style you know, building there with a possible gym, upgrading dressing rooms, a meeting room - kitchen area where you could have a small function, referees room, and extra toilet facilities as well. On top of that, stand will need some work possibly to make it a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
and also you know, develop a concrete terrace from there down towards the school end as well. We've been lucky enough to be used for quite an amount of neutral games as well in the North Kerry Championship, and you know, that's coming from the benefit of having such a good surface. So it's important that we have that available, you know, when required, and that along with our community walkway. So that brings us to, I suppose, the square ball challenge is what we're calling it. It's a type of closest to the pin type scenario where, you know, you buy a ticket, €20 per ticket, 3 for 50, or a book of 10 for 150. You know, we're tickets are for sale from club members, from shops, you know, from pubs in the village, online through clubfunder.com/Douai, as well as we can take payment over card as well. So we're
you're just like the county board now. You can take it over a card as well, is it?
We're trying to box off every eventuality. So
still take money at the gate,
are you?
Yeah,
still take cash anyway.
Absolutely. So that's what we're looking at, and we're having a big day, I suppose, at the field on June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
what's happening that day? What's the big day?
That's
in
so
our Kerry?
On the day, we will have a range of festivities going on the day as well, mainly geared towards family, mm-hmm. and that's what we're about. You know, we will have some, you know, we'll have some, like, there'll be 30 finalists. Mm-hmm. We will draw 30 finalists for their ball to be kicked that day.
Who's kicking them?
That's the $1 million question at the right. moment. We will give a choice to if
your
name.
Get Brian Sheehan now, because I'd imagine he'd be accurate. Yeah,
he'd put it on the nose. Yeah,
yeah. On the nose.
So it should be dangerous for me to say yet, because we do have a few people, and it is a funny time for current players and past players being June 10th being available for Kerry and all that. So we will have more news on that in the next couple of weeks.
Right, okay.
But we will give it
a
choice.
Currently holding trials.
Holding trials, right? And we'll have a mock up hopefully in the next week or two as well. Down
have
there.
Have you good? Have you good? good free taker in Dubois at the moment?
I'd have to say we do.
Okay,
because
good.
If I say we don't,
thank God you said you're good. Yeah, you have one. Yeah,
we do. We might have a few of them. So, yeah, that's what it is. A bit of fun.
Yeah,
and a bit of fun. And 5,000 to the winner, 1,000 for second, and 3, 4, 5, 6 place runner up place for 250 each.
Fair place, yeah. Good stuff. Mike, finally with you, I suppose, before we head over to the real chief over here. You know, hi, they're doing well, aren't they, two boys?
Excellent. I knew that. That's where they came in.
I see. He said he'd get two good fellas.
In good company, yeah.
They certainly are. Mike, come here. What would it mean to you, being a member of the club all your life, gone through that huge journey to Croke Park that finished just that bit short, and you won your North Kerry, and of course you won your novice and the whole lot, to see a project like this completed in the next year or two or 3 years or whatever it is, that you can ramble into the field and you can say, well, that's the stand that I helped out put there, and that we put that there, and I helped to do that. What does it mean in the long run when you look at it, away from the football and away from the winning?
Yeah, I suppose, look, away from the football and away from the winning, I suppose what we are looking at present is to put facilities there for the current generation and for future generations, and that there'll be facilities there that will allow them to develop us to the maximum of their potential, and that we give them the best opportunity in terms of having the best facilities there. And I suppose that's what those of us that are involved currently and are looking at this project and other projects, that's our aim, that's the club's aim, is to maximise the facilities there and to develop them to the best of our ability so that they're there for future generations.
Absolutely. Martin, what's it mean to be a Dubois man?
Yeah, I think to be part of a club, and to be part of a club like Dubois, it's something special. You know, there's always different roads opening up, different avenues opening up, and there's a different interest there every day inside in this club. You know, and I think as us as officers, you know, it is like the fellow wearing the number 7 or 10 or 14 jersey. He got it from somebody else, and eventually he's going to hand it on again to somebody. We're the same way here. We're just a group coming through, and we can do what we can do now, and then hand it on the mantle again to somebody else. That's what's making a good club, and that's why I'd be very, very pleased and be very happy being part of this great club.
Mm. You're not retiring yet, are you? Oh, no. Oh, that sounds like he was retiring.
No. We'll
not
keep him as a consultant.
Jesus, he's a couple of years aren't up, surely, is it? You're not move around. You do it a PRO, maybe. Or something like that. Come here, guys. Listen, the very best luck to you. It's great to have you in tonight. I think it's great to showcase clubs because I suppose there's so many things going on and there's so much light shone down. Sometimes the smaller fellas get lost under the big trees, and it's nice to pull the small fellas out and give them a bit of, I suppose, light and see what it is that goes on there as well. Because at the end of the day, the Dubois Club, Division 5 or Division 4, Division 3, you're competing, you're flying your flag, you're training your youngsters. You have a fantastic field. I mean, the surface is absolutely fantastic. Interesting point, actually, by you, that it's used by a lot of other people as well. Sometimes I often wonder, when you develop your own field, that it nearly becomes kind of a second home to everything else. But obviously, that's a vote of confidence in the field. And I hope you get your success. Really hope you bring Brian Sheehan. And it might take it comes out on your own, Brian Sheehan, to kick the ball anyway. I don't know if that's possible.
You take the number if you have it.
You take the money as well. As I might pay online, you never know. Listen, thanks very much, Martin. You have a long summer ahead with the Kerry supporters.
Yeah, that's my other hat. So that has started, I suppose, against Tipperary there, so hopefully we have a long summer and under 20s as well, and you know, hurling as well. We got a hurling game, so looking forward to a long summer, and hopefully by the end of July or the 1st of August we might have more silverware.
And we might get a Dubois man back on there sometime soon.
Hopefully.
He's got.
That's the plan.
It's great.
Fair play to you. Listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us this evening on Terrace Talk. We also had the draw this evening for the Kerry Under 21 Acorn Life Championship. That'll be kicking off quite soon as well. The show started this evening. We were over in Cove. Ivan watched Kerry FC. Unfortunately, went down 4-1. But Ryan Keller did score the first ever goal on Terrace Talk live on air. So that's something to be achieved. We'll do all this again and more again next week. Take care of yourselves and be safe. Donal Barry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.